sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, sitting to the right of Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are
you? Good. I'm doing great. It's a wonderful Saturday because it's early. It's not 110 yet.
I know, right?
We are in the midst of Oklahoma summer.
Right. Well, and I prefer heat over cold. So I'm okay.
See, what's funny is right when we're in the middle of the winter, I'm like, I'm ready for the heat. When we're in the middle of summer, I'm like, I'm ready for the winter.
Well, I'm never ready for the winter. I will take the warm anytime. So what are we talking about today, Mark?
Today, home inspections. We have our home inspector, Scott Hill, with Call Us First Home Inspections. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Mark and Becky. Glad to be here. Appreciate you having me on the show.
It's great every time we have you on.
Well, and there's a lot to know about home inspections. And one of the things that I thought we would talk about today is how do you prepare for a home inspection? So
that's a good one.
Because we always say, now, prepare for your home inspection. It's going to be this date. So what do you do to prepare for a home inspection, Scott?
Well, matter of fact, Mark and I, we had one this last week that we can really kind of talk about. One of the primary things you need to prepare for is, obviously, do a good job with your disclosures. That helps home inspectors as much as it does realtors for us to know what to look for. And the other thing is to have at least some sort of idea of exactly where we need to get in our inspection. For instance, an electrical panel. Typically, an electrical panel is in your garage, on your garage wall. And if you have the electrical panel with stuff piled up in front of it or even on it, we're really not allowed to move anything. We can't go in and move things around to get to something like that. So to have access to the electrical panel is one that we run in a lot of times. Now, what we will do, we'll walk in, and if Mark was a realtor, we would say, hey, Mark, do you mind calling the listing realtor and getting permission? And then we'll move it out and then do it and move everything back. But without permission, we really can't do that. Same thing with furnaces and hot water heaters. They're typically in the garage in a closet, and we need access to be able to get into those closets to get the data and information off of the furnaces as well as the hot water heater. We're typically there. And then last thing in the garage is going to be the attic. You know, don't leave your car parked in the garage with the attic entrance above that, and make sure that we just have enough room to pull the stairs down and get up in the attic.
And the stairs need to have actual steps on them that are not broken, right?
That is a good idea, yes.
Now, Becky, within our real estate contract, it states in there that that the seller will allow access for inspections. Are they required to allow space that they can see the furnace? Is that a obligation the seller has?
Now, are you saying the exact words of the contract? Okay.
Go ahead and show off, Becky. I believe in you.
The thing is that you have to allow access, yes. But that doesn't mean that you have to move things out of the way. It's only if you want your actual contract to close do you need to make access, because nobody's going to make you move something out of the way in order to do an inspection, but a buyer's not likely to purchase that property if three or four parts of that, or even one major part, says that we couldn't get access.
Yeah.
So we don't know whether or not that furnace works.
And it would certainly cause reason for a buyer to potentially break contract, get the earnest money back, and go, we don't know. We don't know from inspection.
Scott, what's the oldest air conditioner that you can remember inspecting?
Early 60s would be one that I can remember.
When did you inspect it? So it's probably, so at this point, it would be 60 years old.
Was it working?
60 years old, and it was working. Yes, it was working. It was operational.
Really?
Did not hit the differentials. You know, we test the supply and the return, and it didn't really hit those, but it was working fine. And it was from some diligent older couple that was selling their house that changed the filters every time and had it serviced, you know, regularly. And that always makes a difference. But that's the oldest one. Now,
wow.
I've had other ones that were in the 70s and 80s that didn't work at all. But that one's the one that comes to mind because we talk about it every time we have a team meeting is, you know, it can work all the way back if it's taken care of very well.
Well, I had one that was not taken care of at all in a listing I had. And the house was built in the late 60s. So the air conditioner, the youngest it could be according to its serial number was 46 years old at the time. It was probably older.
Wow.
Okay, 46 years, had never been serviced. And the homeowner asked me, Do you think we need to have it serviced? I said, when's the last time you had that serviced? They said, well, we've never had anything. It's never needed anything. I said, I think I'd leave well enough alone.
Absolutely. I might even change my recommendation on my report in that case.
Do you know something? Now, that was the furnace. Okay. Mm-hmm. The air conditioner goes out, and it was the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And they had someone come out. Well, that was too much money. But the worker that worked for the HVAC company that came out to look at it comes following the appointment, comes back later that day and said, I can put you one in for $1,000 less money. And the homeowner says, well, sure. Well, evidently, he installed a heat pump.
Wasn't compatible.
And it wasn't, well, I mean, it didn't work. And when we had our home inspection, the home inspector, the nerve of the guy, ran the serial number. Come to find out, the worker had gone and stolen an air conditioning unit and put it on there. And from the sheepish look on the husband's face, he knew.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
And this had been evidently 2 years before or something. And anyway, the insurance had already paid off to the apartment complex he took this air conditioner from. So they didn't want it back, an old unit. They wanted the new one they had installed. And, of course, the homeowner could not get we would not let the house be sold with a stolen unit. So it sat right there in the garage, and the homeowner had to buy a new one.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Oh,
goodness.
So if someone offers you a good deal, it may not be such a good deal because there were two different police departments involved there because it was two different jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big mess.
Wow, I guess.
So, but old stuff, how old of a water heater? That's another thing that sometimes they go out about 5 minutes after the warranty, and other times they just seem to last forever.
Yeah, I think the oldest one of those I've seen is late 70s that was still operational. So there's still some old ones out there that have worked pretty good. But I really would be remiss without saying, even for the seller needs to be thought worthy of. That's what the buyer is going to look for, because that's half of what we do when we get the data plate on our referrals and recommendations that based on how old the unit is.
If you want to join the conversation today, you can call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. When we come back, we'll be coming back with our money man, Dean Riddell, right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and we have on the line our money man, Dean Riddell.
NMLS number 196-895.
Good morning, Dean. How are you doing this Saturday morning?
Good morning, Mark. Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Tell us what the market's doing. What's the market doing out there on the lake?
Yeah, no, I'm here, Becky. We have our customer appreciation event at 11 o'clock this morning.
That is today.
I'm not going to the lake this weekend.
Oh, okay. So, next weekend you're going to the lake.
Absolutely. So, market wise, I mean, it's fairly stable throughout the week. I mean, we had moments of early in the week of a rate improvement and once or twice, but nothing significant north or south. We're probably still in a 5 7/8, 6% rate world, FHA, VA, conventional. They're all it's pretty tight with one another, but we're in that ball game today.
Well, sounds like it's a great place to be. I know there's a lot of apprehension out there about what's happening within interest rates, and we have to remind individuals, historically, we're still at a great place.
Well, I mean, Mark, when I went into real estate, the interest rate book, which we did not have on computer at the time, okay, that I read with a candle, it was 7% was the lowest interest rate, but the interest rate wasn't 7%. It was higher than that. It was in the double digits, and it remained in the double digits for about 30 years. So, I mean, right. When people start talking about 6%, that does not sound so bad.
Yeah.
It's affordable.
Totally agree.
Yes. So if you want to get a hold of Dean Riddell, Matt McLean, you can give him a call at 405-858-7770, 405-858-7770. Dean, any last word for us?
You know, just if you have an opportunity to come by this morning or come by today for our customer appreciation event, listeners can too. We're going to have hot dogs, pulled pork sandwiches, snow cones. It'll be a good day, fun day. Fun way to give back.
I'll take 2 pulled pork to go, please.
I can do that.
Okay. That's on Hefner Road, by the way. Just
east of Rockwell.
Just east of Rockwell, where SWBC's office is. And go say hi to our friends over there.
Dean, thanks so much for all that you do. Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage.
You know, we depend on people that surround our industry.
Yeah.
And Dean is one of those people. Do you know, I know I went into real estate before he went into mortgage, but he was one of my first people that I depended on for a really good, honest mortgage lender and somebody that I could depend on what they say, not just all, as they say in Texas, not all hat, no cattle, you know?
That is one of the keys in a lender is when they tell you you're qualified.
Oh, my gosh. And then you get a denial letter from the same person that said that you're approved.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
maddening.
It hurts everybody.
It does hurt everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, the buyer probably is just been on this roller coaster ride of I'm qualified. So they go tell everybody that they're getting a new house.
Right.
And then come to find out someone didn't tell them that they're going to check their tax returns. And they haven't filed taxes in 3 years.
Yep.
So there's a lot to do, but one of the things that it gets scrutiny during the process of purchasing is the actual house structure. So when we say the actual house structure, Scott, how about the outbuilding or the detached garage or the big 40 by 100 metal building out back? Do you guys inspect that?
We will inspect those. Typically, if we see those, pull it up on Zillow, or if a realtor sent us the disclosure and we know where they're present, then we'll call the owner or the buyer and see if they're interested in us and inspecting them. And we always encourage the buyer to less inspection, particularly if they've got plumbing and if they've got electricity. Either one of those, and it's usually wise for us to do that. If it doesn't have that, either plumbing or electricity, then yes, we'll inspect them, but it'll be more of a walk around and just check the structure, make sure there's not anything that's really needs attention immediately on those buildings. But it's sort of a request.
Do you know, I have an extended family member who built a great big barn type shop out on an acreage near the new turnpike, the Kickapoo Turnpike. And I went, they wanted me to value this because they were, the state was going to take part of it, right? And he had this great big building he thought was worth as much as everybody else's big building. Come to find out, I went inside, it did look just like everybody else's great big building out there in Choctaw and Hera. However, you go inside this one and it was built with scrap lumber.
Oh, goodness.
So the structural integrity was definitely in question. So, but you would check something like that, wouldn't you?
We would check something like that. I think there's something that's really interesting here that the buyer can do on their own. If you can walk in the outbuilding, or for that matter, looking up in the roof attic of the house, there's two ways that homes are built. They're called framing, and then they're actually trussed. And what truss means is that the actual framework of the entire building is built at the manufacturer's place, and that they're actually hauled out by truck and attached by gussets. Those are what Moore is insisting on their houses being built now because of all the tornadoes. So, and you can look, and then if you've just, and can look up in the attic or in a building and you see where they've just been nailed together with whether it be wood or any other type, then it's frame and the structure's not going to be as strong.
Now, if you're out in Jones or Hera, that's baling wire. Yes.
That we probably would call out.
And I say that lovingly because that's my family out there. So, what are a couple of things that you think should be inspected that aren't?
Well, I always think spas are one thing. You know, spas, some people inspect those. It's one of those requests. But if you have a spa, whether you've got a pool or not, I suggest that you get that inspected. And really what that means is the inspector's going to go out. They're going to make sure that the water's on, that the heater's on, and it operates correctly. That's really nice to know that. The other thing is an outdoor fireplace. If you have an outside fireplace, a lot of inspectors won't test those. Now, and you know, to have those, typically they're very easy. You just turn the gas on, light it up, you get a picture of it. That's something that I think needs to be looked at. Something that I think is really big that isn't even is drainage for a buyer to know what. You know, we're not necessarily a survey, but is the drainage, is it going from northeast to southwest? Is there going to be a problem here with a brand new house if you don't have gutters on the southwest corner of that house over time and the builder didn't put gutters? Those are things that I think that really ought to be asked, because over the long haul, you're talking about affecting structure, that will affect the structure of the house.
I had just this last week with Scott. Scott and his team was out in an inspection for a brand new house, beautiful build. And the grading wasn't complete by the builder, and the builder came by during inspection, and Scott was able to have a conversation with the builder about what are you going to do about the drainage. And so then the builder said, hey, we're not finished grading, here's what we're going to do, but in the inspection report we have, here's where what needs to be done is in Scott's report. So now it can be checked against, did the builder do what he said he was going to do?
Well, and water can cause so much damage, whether it's coming from the bottom or the side or the top, right?
Absolutely.
So, wow. Okay.
So what about appliances?
Okay.
What gets inspected and what doesn't?
Okay. We try to inspect everything. And I'll just run through real quick. If there's a refrigerator there, typically a realtor might tell us, or the buyer might be there and say, you know, it's not staying, or whether it is or not. But we actually have a place on our report to where we'll open the refrigerator and take a temperature. We'll open the freezer part of it. We'll take a temperature, and we'll at least put those in there because we don't always know. So the refrigerator is going to be at least checked for that. Stove and oven, obviously, we want to turn the stove on. If it's electric, make sure that all the burners are on. Same thing with gas. We'll take a picture of that and put that in the report. And then the oven was a big one. We talked about it a little bit a while ago. Have it all cleaned out. Don't have pans and or pots and pans in the oven. Because, you know, if there's stuff in those, we won't take them out. And a good example is just if there's grease in a gas oven, we're not going to turn it on. That's just something we can't do. It could cause a fire. And so we're not going to do that. Exhaust fans above the stove and oven are things that should be checked and noted when you go through the report at the end. And obviously dishwashers, we measure, we operate the dishwasher, and then we check to see what temperature the dishwasher is. Dishwasher temperature isn't above 110 degrees, it's really not operating correctly. Mm. So those are a couple of things of, you know, the with the appliances that really need to be looked at, and the buyer needs to know if they're operational or not.
How many coffee makers have you inspected? I showed a house one time and wrote a contract on it that had two built-in coffee makers, like built into the wall.
I'll be honest with you. I've never had to do a built-in coffee maker.
A built-in coffee maker. I've never seen
one. And we saw several of those, but this was like 1.5 million and up.
Yeah.
And it just amazed me. I was going, well, that's going to leave a hole in the wall when that quits working.
That's a $1.5 million hole in the wall. When we come back, we'll be talking to you with your calls and more with Scott Hill right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking to Scott Hill, inspector for Call Us First Home Inspections. And we're talking about all the things that get inspected and some of the things that don't. What about washer and dryers?
Washer and dryer, we'll actually turn the dryer on. Again, it's an electrical deal. If it's hooked up, we'll turn it on and turn it right back off. For a washer, we actually like to run at least one load, and the reason for that is we want to make sure there's not any backup in the drains coming back. So we will actually turn those on and run the washer for one load.
Gotcha. That's one of the questions that we have with buyers all the time is what stays with the home and what leaves. And so typically what we tell buyers is if it's wired in, it stays. If it's plugged in, it leaves. Mm-hmm. Generally, that mm-hmm. is true. There's exceptions to that. But there can be anything can be included in the contract. You can write in inclusions.
Sure, I'm sure that's right. You know, Becky asked me a while ago, that's really from a rules perspective, what the things from an appliance, if it's built in, then we're going to check it. You know, microwave is a classic example. If it's just a plug-in, we don't check that microwave. But if it's a built-in microwave, then we'll actually check it, too. If it's built in, we're going to check it, typically.
Yeah. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
It's a term.
It's a term
of the day. CSST. We see that on reports often.
I think I'm taking antibiotics for that. CSST. Oh.
I do sometimes, trust me. You'll know why in a minute.
CSST is corrugated stainless steel tubing.
Oh, so corrugated stainless steel tubing.
So tell us what that's used for, Scott.
Okay, it is a gas covering, a gas plate covering that actually on the gas lines, there's this covering that goes over it that's called corrugated stainless steel tubing. There's two types of CSST. There's yellow CSST and black CSST. And as an inspector from our governing body, the Construction Industry Board, if we see yellow CSST, then we have to call that out as a defect. The reason for that is back in 1967, there was actually a house fire in Nichols Hills that they traced this lightning strike back to a gap in between the CSST and the connection at the furnace. And it started a fire and blew the house up. Nobody was hurt. But ever since then in Oklahoma, That's the reason that we have to call out yellow CSST. We find that if it's installed correctly, then the CSST goes all the way down into the connection of the furnace or the hot water heater, or a lot of times could be all the way through through the house. So we see it sometimes, and if we see breaks in that CSST, then you have the same problem. You could a lightning strike could do that. And it's a lot stiffer, and it gets brittle. And so that's the reason we have to call out the CSST. And then what you have to do, you have to have a realtor. We need to get Becky and Mark over to make sure that it's bonded and grounded correctly. Would y'all do that,
yeah,
please?
Well, that would not happen.
No, we have get a plumber to come over, make sure it's installed correctly, and then an electrician to make sure that it's bonded and grounded correctly. Those two things. Now, the black CSST is the newer CSST, and we have to mark that, but we don't have to go through the big spiel like I just did with yellow CSST because it's not as brittle.
How can you tell if it's bonded?
You have to actually go to the panel box, and then you have to run a cord, and then have to go to where it is connected and check it two different ways. There's a specific device that the electrician would use to make sure that it's bonded. We can tell if the panel box is bonded correctly and grounded correctly, but we don't know, other than with outlets, we don't know if the other units out there, particularly with gas, whether they're that have electricity to them to run them, whether they're bonded and grounded correctly. That takes the specialist to go out and do that.
But you inspect that.
Oh, yeah, we inspect that for sure, but we call for a plumber to make sure it's installed correctly and an electrician to make sure it's bonded and grounded correctly.
Those electrical boxes is where, in my experience, a lot of home inspections go sideways, is in those inspections.
The panel boxes?
The panel boxes, yeah, the electrical panel boxes. What should, like, somebody who's listening going, I don't know what, I mean, they've never looked at their electrical panel box. What should they be looking for to go, is it, should I get an electrician to come look at this?
Okay, good question, by the way. The first thing you would want to look at is make sure that there's not anything sealed or screwed into the actual metal part of the panel box. If you have that, then what's happened is a handyman or somebody, a thrifty guy, girl, has gone in and they've tried to ground something without actually using the total grounding system that was meant for the entire house. That could be dangerous. That's the first thing you would know immediately then. Now, on something else, you would probably have to take the panel off for a novice to really see if there was anything wrong. But if you want to take the panel off, there's really nothing scary about that. And then you would want to look, see if there's debris inside. If there's lots of debris, it needs to be cleaned out. And now you want an electrician to do it. You don't want to do that. And then the other thing, which is a huge deal, is just look down each circuit breaker. And if you find two red or two black circuits connected to one breaker, that's an absolute no-no. That means that some handyman has come in, and usually you'll see a breaker that's missing down at the bottom. And rather than replace another breaker and put that hot wire in there, they've just taken the hot wire and put it into another one of the breakers. Well, when you do that, you've overamped it. And that could cause arcing, which is one of the big problems within a panel. But that's one of the two biggest things that we see, called a double tap.
Double tap. I said, isn't that called the double tap? Which is one of the great terms, but you don't want to hear it.
No, that's right. We don't want to say it. That's,
well, and I will tell you that here's my word of advice for folks. If you need an electrician to come do anything, say they're just going to change out two light fixtures for you. Which, by the way, an electrician will do that typically. Hayes Electric, we call them to change out light fixtures because it's cheaper than a handyman doing it, because they do it all the time and they're faster at it. But if you have them out for anything, have them check your panel box, because they will do that on the same call. It takes them 5 or 6 minutes to unscrew it, look at it, and be sure that, I mean, if you see a mouse tail hanging out one of the holes, you're in trouble, right? That's happened at some of our inspections.
No doubt about that.
And they, you know, they get kind of crispy when they really get in there and chew those wires. The wires get crispy from the flame and the...
Do you find critters?
I found mice, lots of mice inside panel boxes. That's not unusual at all in some of the older houses, for sure. No, it's not.
Is it really a problem for, we had a home inspector one time years ago that called out so many panel boxes because they were, the cover was screwed in with sharp end screws instead of flat screws on the end.
The pointed ones in opposed to the blunt ones.
There you go.
Well, it's it's another one of those things like CSST. CSST is not called out in Arkansas or Texas or Kansas or New Mexico. It just so happened because of what took place. And that's one of those CIB, our governing board says that we're supposed to call out. So it's something that we're really obligated to call out, whether it's really that bad or not. Some of the older units, they all have the pointed screws, and you recommend that they replace them. But that's the reason those are called out. I think the other thing we probably would want to mention here, another good thing for a buyer to know when an inspector finishes your house, find out where the GFCIs are. A lot of times GFCIs are ground fault interrupters, circuit interrupters, and you're supposed to have GFCIs within 6 foot of all water in your bathrooms and your kitchens and in the garage. And a lot of times you don't have the GFCI in the bathroom, so to speak, hot tubs, but you can go out to the panel box and the panel box will have a GFCI for the hot tub. And knowing that would make a lot of difference as to whether it's actually installed correctly or not.
I got a question for one of you two. It's like, when did GFCI begin showing up in electrical work? Do you know?
Well, it certainly was before 1960, I think.
Yeah, certainly.
So it's been around that long.
The business. It's been that long.
I was in a house. So the question comes because I was in a house. I was thinking, okay, this doesn't have a GFCI. Were they present when this house was built? This was built in 1970. And I just didn't have it in my mind whether it was in 1970 home or not.
Well, I know the 1950 homes were built with two prong plugs, just two wires, instead of the grounding wire going all the way through. And that's a mistake a lot of people make. And a good home inspector will point this out. You can't plug in your vacuum cleaner to a two-prong plug. You have to have that grounding plug, or else I've seen people like break off the grounding plug so that they can plug in their vacuum cleaner. Not good. Or you get an adapter. But so many people have updated, they consider it updated electrical when they change out their plugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a three-prong plug in a two-wire house. And that's not good because people assume when they see that third prong that it's grounded.
Yeah. Scott, does that come up in an inspection?
It comes up in older houses. There's no matter. And I'm just
Scott. So how do you know if the wire's not grounded?
Well, if it's two prong, you know it's not grounded
right,
for sure. And then we, in our tester, we test every plug, even if it's a three prong plug, we put our tester in and it'll show three or four different things. It'll show if there's an open ground, which is how you do that. It'll show if it's double tapped. It'll show if the wiring is crossed, and any one of those, then we would obviously call out. But we check every plug every outlet in the house with our
reversed polarity. We get that on so many reports. New homes, you get that on. Mark, we're going to talk about new homes right after the break, and it. Since they have a warranty by law, do you really need a home inspection?
Oh, I got a lot to say about this. When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and it's time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian.
Easy for you to say, Mark.
And Casa Perico, fresh hot Mexican food.
We had a nice little meeting there yesterday.
Yeah, you took the whole team to Casa Perico, and we had a team meeting. Great place to have a team meeting.
Yeah, it was fun.
With a margarita.
Yeah, nobody was showing a buyer right afterwards. So when they walked in, I did have it set up with nice fancy drinks.
I know. It was, I got sat down, then a margarita got placed in front of me, and I was like, I didn't know it was that kind of meeting. It's a Friday!
Do you know something? We're going to have an event at Casa Perico in Yukon.
So excited about the Yukon location that's coming.
We're going to do it, I think, the weekend before school starts, like maybe the 6th of August. We'll let you guys know about that because we'll invite you to come meet the team. We will likely buy you a beer with your food.
Or a beverage of your choice.
There you go. A beverage of your choice. There you go. So,
all right. So our smoking hot deal is 949 Northwest 22nd Street.
Okay, that's in Regency Park and Moore, right?
You're exactly right. Regency Park's built in 1962, just slightly over 1,500 square feet.
Three bedroom, two bath,
redone kitchen. Really beautiful redone kitchen.
And it has above ground pool.
Do you know, I am not a big fan of above ground pools, but this one has a fantastic deck around, a gazebo right next to it, has little gardens and kind of a garden outbuilding out there. So if you like a little backyard oasis, especially at this price point,
$180,000.
Yeah. So if that is ringing a bell for you, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. You'll see it right there. You can take a virtual tour and you can sign up and take a actual in-person tour with us, because I wouldn't expect it's going to last too long.
No, we'll get multiple offers this weekend on that. So, okay. If you're a realtor out there, you need to listen up, because we're going to be talking about why you choose the home inspector you choose, right?
Yes.
Now, do I get to pop in on this?
Yeah. Right. No infomercial, Scott. Call. You know, we've not mentioned the name of Scott's company, by the way. We don't like our guests to come on as an infomercial. We like them to come on for their expertise, because we depend on that expertise.
Yeah, and then you naturally learn why we choose Scott Hill, because it is a integral part of the purchasing and selling process is the home inspection.
Well, and a lot of people think that the home inspector and the realtor are in cahoots not to find a fault.
Right.
Do you ever do that, Scott?
No, we never do that. We wouldn't stay in business very long. There are realtors out there that ask you to do things like that at times, but they're few and far between. So we've certainly had that opportunity. But, you know, it's a partnership. It's like anything else. It's a relationship. It's a partnership. And quite frankly, you guys are wonderful with it. You want the best for your client. And what really determines a really good home inspector is how does he inspect each home? Because it's the home that that they're really partnering with, so to speak, for about a two-hour period. And then they're delivering all the information to everybody the same way.
Well, in your home inspection, we do love that about your company, by the way, is that we can kind of depend on the timeline of a home inspection, because it's a bigger house doesn't mean it's going to take longer. It means you bring more people to inspect.
That's right. I've found, but I think it was pretty well known, you know, buyers and realtors by and large, you know, there's about a 2 hour window that they'd like to spend that they set aside for that. So if it's a 1,000 to 2,000 square foot house, if it's below 1,000, somebody could generally do one by themselves, provided it's not an old house with a crawl space and small attic and so forth. But we typically bring two people, at least two people, once it's over 2,000 square foot. And then if it's over 3,000 square foot, we'll bring three people, and up and up 4,000 square foot, four, and 5,000 square foot and above, we'll have all six of us there. So that gives us, we break it all up, and then we can get our component parts done that each of us kind of feel like we're specialists in. Like, we have a journeyman that was an electrician. We put him on, and then we have Trevor that worked for Air Comfort Solutions for a while that would go on the air and heat. And so we kind of break it up that way, and they get a little bit more expertise and more eyes on everything than just one person trying to scramble through and getting it done in a certain amount of time.
Okay, so why would we choose Scott Hill? Call us first over another one. Time is one of them. We can depend on a period of time. We can depend on you to show up on time, but mainly to do a complete, thorough investigation of the home. The last thing, my four most unfavorite words at a closing are, weren't they supposed to, whatever follows that, weren't they supposed to, no, we want it all uncovered, because if the house isn't what the buyer expects it to be, we'll go find you another house. We don't want you to buy a bum house. And if the seller gets pointed out legitimate repairs, most sellers know they're going to have to fix certain things in order to get the top dollar out of your house. And then we've got the flip side of that. We've got people who, buyers, who don't mind buying a problem, but, and then sellers who will not fix a problem. And so you pair up with the right kind of buyer and seller together. You sure don't want to mix those two, right?
Exactly. And what I appreciate with Scott is that you present the facts. You don't try to over exaggerate the problem or under exaggerate. Our responsibility is to give the buyer on the buy side the information so they can make the decision of what's right for them.
So, new homes by Oklahoma law have a one-year warranty. So why would you want to inspect a home that's brand new? Mark, you had one this week, I think, didn't you?
I have, and this is a conversation with buyers. Well, you know, don't they do, the builder do their own inspection? Don't they do? Well, here's an example. Scott, you were there, and why don't you tell a little bit about what happened?
Well, you're talking about the one in Davis?
Yeah.
I think we were there, and we go through a full inspection of a new house, just like we would one that was 10 years old, and we're there, and the first thing that's very noticeable is we talked a little bit about drainage a while ago. You walk up through the front yard, and there's literal tracks in the ground where the water has run, and it ran directly from both sides of the house because the drainage was from northeast to southwest. So that was something we would normally want to say. Mm-hmm. And we go back, and we turn all the water on, and 5 minutes after we turn all the water on, the septic system has just not exploded, but it's come undone at the base. And neat thing about it happened there, Mark, it was Mark's, but the actual seller and owner was there. He comes up and was very nice about it and goes through. He calls the septic company while we're there to get them there. And then he also goes over not only with myself and Mark, but also with the buyer on the phone, what he's going to do with the drainage.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, a subcontractor just hadn't hooked it up fully or correctly. Mm-hmm. I had another new house, and again, that probably would have not been noticed until they moved in. Had another one, that brand new house, $500,000 house, where they just forgot to put in the air vents up on the roof, which would have negated the insurance
and the warranty.
And the warranty.
I had one where they forgot to put insulation in the attic. And you do, that's the last thing you do it has inspections.
Yeah.
There's a lot more we can talk about. Scott, will you come back in September?
Absolutely.
And we're going to have you go do at least two shows in September.
Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.